It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Underrated, You Better You Bet rejoin music here. Haven't heard it in a while. An old favorite. And not just because he's about to give us talent score V1PO, just because he's here and we love him. Ken Barkley's time to shine. Fucking cookout. Seriously, we are in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Power hour. No, we promised. We promise cookouts. They're now.
They're next.
Next.
I am going to admit something to start the power hour that I'm actually kind of embarrassed about. And then we'll give our bets.
That should be good.
And Nikki Football will make an appearance at the end of the show to give you bets for Liverpool and Real Madrid. Champions League final coming up on Saturday from France, which is going to be awesome. But for now, we continue on with Ken's college football talent score V1.0. So when we left off in the last segment, Ken revealed numbers 1 and 2 are the top two teams in the country in the polls right now, Ohio State and Alabama, and that's not normally the case. But you want to be in, like, the top 10 of talent score in order, like, if you want to be in national championship contention. Not that, like, it's a guarantee, but that's kind of what history has shown us. So, Ken, you gave us 1, you gave us 2. The Buckeyes at 1. Alabama at 2. I guess we draw a line now, right? Like, draw a line after 1 and 2, and now we get to the best of the rest, I guess. So go ahead.
Right, and just this type of score that these two teams register this year, I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, basically the two best teams along with Georgia and then Ohio State, especially with how much they bring back, like scores that either team would have had the best score last year, either team would have had the best score in 2020 by far, either team would have had the best score in 2019. So then you get into 2018 Clemson. That was Trevor Lawrence defeating Tua in the title game. That Clemson team historically good also with a ton of talent. That's like, just from a score standpoint, it's crazy. That's kind of the company that they keep, which is, I mean, and on the one hand you go, well, that means there won't be a lot of parity this year. And that's kind of a bummer. On the other hand, you go, we might have two like historically good teams in different conferences, which last year, the two best teams played in the same conference, which was kind of a bummer to people like me who just, I like to see like a little more balance and different types of matchups that are interesting as opposed to the same game again with Alabama and Georgia. So just find that kind of interesting. Ohio State, like just on paper in my brain, they seem like just the best team by far right now, and would be very excited about them this year. The rest of the top 10. So just to reiterate, it doesn't mean you can't win the title if you're not in the top 10, but every national champion in the last 20 years has been in the top 9 of the statistic to start the year. We also say version 1.0, I'm not quite done with the transfer portal stuff yet. I have most of it, but I want to make sure I have all of it or as much as I can do before I get completely tired with it to get close enough. So like some of the margins between these teams are incredibly small where like if I got a player wrong or a specific position group wrong, that could account for like a one position swap or whatever. So like that's why we call it 1.0 because it could actually change. I think I even have Jordan Addison like going to USC and tried to like make an adjustment for what that would be because it's not recruiting and it's not returning production, but he's also like the best receiver. So like, what do we do with that? What do we do with the player? What do we do with Caleb Williams when he goes to USC too? We'll get to USC eventually if we have time. So just to kind of conclude the top 10 here, again, kind of your national championship contenders, teams to consider. Ohio State, Alabama, duh.
Oh, I guess is that what we want to call this? Market. So like, what do we want to the top two, like the no-brainers?
Yeah, I think like the true contenders is how I would think about it. Because like there are teams every year that get hyped a ton, win total 10, 10 and a half, 11. And then we use this metric and I just go, not even close. So last year, and we had a lot of success betting win total unders on those teams. So last year, two really prominent examples of that would have been North Carolina, whose preseason win total was 10 with Sam Howell coming back. That was one of the favorite win totals we gave out last year.
What was the background
year.
Funny quote, by the way, from the season? It was like, we didn't think we were going to be like, any good. It was you guys.
We didn't think we were going to be either. Right. Yeah. And I was like, well, the market did. Market sure did. All they did was lose week one to Virginia Tech on the road as like a 3.5 point favorite, 4 point favorite. So Carolina was an example of that last year. In talent score last year, they were 22nd, but with a really high win total outside basically the playoff zone almost even.
But hey, they had a first round quarterback.
Right. Iowa State was like glaring red lights danger kind of with a bet. Win total of 10 last year, I think is what it closed at. In talent score last year, Iowa State was 50th among the 65 power conference teams.
Is Purdy still there this year, or is he done?
No, that was the last year.
Okay, so no more Brocktober.
I haven't done my Iowa State work yet. It will not surprise you to learn they are not in the top 20 this year.
Be waiting with bated breath on the Cyclones.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Yeah. But again, doesn't mean they can't win your conference. Like, Baylor was terrible last year on this metric. Conference is a totally different conversation, but like the type of team that the committee will place in the playoff, and then once they are in the playoff, can win. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're settling today. So Ohio State, Alabama 1 and 2. There is a tie for third between Clemson and LSU. Those are two teams that are very, very, very frequently in the top 10 of this metric. Clemson kind of goes in and out sometimes, just depending on, because they don't recruit at quite the level that Bama, Georgia, LSU, A&M, Ohio State do. So sometimes that recruiting margin can cause them to kind of slip into some weird spots. I mean, they're technically the worst team that's ever won the national title, rated 9th entering that year. And then they have an interesting season. Just I'll give you like 30 seconds on them because they're fascinating. DJ is going to be the starting quarterback right now, but they have a kind of a big time recruit that may end up supplanting him at some point. And then also for Clemson, they lost both their offensive
year. I guess it was bad.
Not good.
He just wasn't like Trevor.
And he was like the number one recruit coming out of high school, not even just among quarterbacks. Basically, I think he was number 2 in the class actually. And then for the most important thing for Clemson is, like, Brett Venables obviously becomes the head coach of Oklahoma. That's Clemson's defensive coordinator, a very, very, very important part of their coaching staff. Their defense soared when he took over, basically. And then Tony Elliott, their offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of Virginia. So both of their offensive and defensive coordinators gone. Dabo choosing to replace from within, promoting position coaches to take over those jobs. How will that go? And you also have a quarterback question mark in addition to that. So shaky, I think, at least to start with for Clemson, still a ton of talent. Best defensive line in the country, which is always true, but just kind of interesting, like a lot going on behind the scenes there, especially if you just kind of tuned out once we got to January and February. LSU, it's like, I mean, speaking of question marks and mysteries, like, here's Brian Kelly.
Yeah, can I ask a question about LSU? Because I feel like if I have questions like this, then I'm sure like other like listeners and viewers might as well. So like, is this, and it's, by the way, this is, it's You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken. Ken's college football talent score, V1.0 here. Is this like LSU would be here no matter who the coach is? I don't say no matter who the coach is, but with Orgeron as the coach, does this have to do with like Brian Kelly's recruiting, or like would Orgeron have them in this position also? Like, how much does Kelly have to do with them being in this ranking?
Well, I guess you'd have to ask, like, how much does Kelly have to do with recruiting? LSU always recruits at a monster level, no matter who the head coach is. Or I should say, like, very rarely in their history did they ever recruit at a bad level. And it's like, because they must have had a historically bad coach. Like, any coach you could plug in there, they just recruit at such a monster level. Every SEC team basically recruits at a monster level versus every other team. So whether it's LSU, Georgia, Alabama, and there are differences between them, A&M now, it's just the recruiting rankings are always crazy. It's more about kind of like the Ohio State conversation. There are years where Ohio State's not in the top 10. Last year was one of those. Ohio State was 13th last year. And that's because although they recruited a really high level, they didn't bring anything back last year. So this year, Ohio State recruits at a really high level and brings like everything back except for their top 2 wide receivers. So that's kind of like why they kind of move in and out of this rating, basically. So LSU's had years where they're like number 1, 2, 3. The Joe Burrow championship team was rated really highly, obviously. This is yet another one. Doesn't mean LSU has to be successful. One of the highest rated teams of all time is the 2016 LSU team. I think it was 2016. I almost remember it like it was yesterday. I bet this team to win the national championship. They were insanely talented, but their quarterback was a North Carolina transfer named Brandon Harris, who was atrocious. Yeah. They played week 1 against Wisconsin on a neutral field. They were a 9.5-point favorite and got killed in the game. Played Auburn in week 2 for a coach gets fired if you lose the game.
Leaves town.
And it was like one of the most dramatic, stupid, low scoring games you could possibly imagine. Like, they were number 1 in talent score that year. But again, what do we talk about? Like, okay, look at the quarterback, look at the coach. I didn't even know about talent score in 2016. I just backtested it to get, like, oh my God, they were number 1. That's so funny. Anyway, we'll keep going with the rating just to kind of get through this a little bit. So Ohio State, Alabama, and then a tie between Clemson and LSU. For LSU, it's the coach isn't really a question. I think we think Brian Kelly is going to be successful. It's more just like, who plays quarterback for them this year? I think it's going to be Nussmeier, who's like the rising sophomore. I don't think they redshirted him last year. I think it's going to end up being him. There are not like locked in phenomenal options. It's like transfer, like Jaden Daniels from Arizona State transfer. So it's like, it could be some guys that are interesting, but you don't have that guy where you're like, it's that guy. And so they remain interesting. The LSU is interesting every year. But just with Clemson and them, it's interesting that they're tied for third because they both, I feel like, have a lot of question marks. Directly behind them, almost tied with them in fifth, is Georgia. Obviously the team that won the national championship last year does not bring back a lot on defense almost at all. But they also recruit all of the best defensive
players. The entire first round of the draft.
So anybody watch the draft? Right. Blank. Linebacker, Georgia. Blank. Defensive head, Georgia. Blank. And they, as you would imagine, have recruited lots of phenomenal replacements for all of these players, for Trevon Walker and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, all these guys. And they're going to play and probably be great. But that was like, kind of gives you an idea of like what an all-time Georgia team that was last year.
It's still Stetson Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, but you know what? Like, they won a national championship with them.
They have a quarterback who was the third stringer last year, Carson Beck. JT Daniels isn't there anymore. Carson Beck is like thought of as maybe a guy who could challenge Bennett at some point, but like it's Bennett's team, and like Smart said that in the spring. So it's really just like a weird Georgia team because the idea is like, well, now the offense has to lead and the defense has like the young guys. And that's like with Kirby Smart team, that just like sounds broken in my brain that like, wait, yep. Stetson Bennett of the offense is like leading this team, which I guess could happen. He was so good in the title game, but yeah. I just have questions. And they're rated so like amazingly by the market already. I feel like I would never bet them. They're fifth. Okay. Texas A&M is sixth. A&M is not always in the top 10, but they frequently flirt with it all the time because they recruit at a high level.
Now they're
recruiting at a really, really, really high level. Their four-year recruiting average beats last year's four-year mark for, I believe, the best I have on record for them. Not surprising if you followed the news whatsoever of why that's the case. Pretty average returning production for them. Their big thing is going to be quarterback too. The guy who beat Alabama, Zach Calzada, like one of the most heroic quarterback performances, basically. He is gone, transferred to Auburn, right? I think I got that right. And so it's basically kind of like a mishmash of guys. Max Johnson, who's Brad Johnson's son, for people who are old like me and remember when he played quarterback, transfers from LSU. He's in the mix. Haynes King, who was the starter last year, but he hurt his leg against Colorado, I think, in the second week of the year. He's in the mix again, and they have a monster recruit, and his name is going to be Connor Wiegman, I think is his name or something, a five-star. I think Texas A&M's a year away. They lost a ton off of last year's team. I think if you take this five-star quarterback year two you take this five-star quarterback in year two with the wave of talent that's like really building there, they feel like a year away to me. Doesn't mean they can't win like 10 games and be really good this year, or they could just start this guy right away and he could be Trevor Lawrence. I have no idea, but they just seem like a year away. That's just like kind of my thought on A&M. They can be awesome though. Like Georgia can be a year away and they win 11 games every year. So that's the top six. 7 and 8 are from the same conference and they're both really interesting. 7 is Texas and 8 is Oklahoma. Texas is, they're something because like I never bet Texas.
Are they back?
I don't know. I have no idea. I will tell you that I have probably maybe, and I never say that about Texas.
Okay.
Or next, they might be next. Well, no, Texas A&M is next, I think, because like they're going to get better and better. Texas has Quinn Ewers, who was the number one quarterback, went to Ohio State, the NIL thing, all that stuff, and then ended up at Texas. This is where he's ended up with Sark. Receiving core, unbelievable. The offense just scored 9 million points a game. The defense was abominable last year. And the question is basically like, can they figure this out? I have no idea, but they're going to score 1 million points a game again. Have no clue if they can figure it out. But they are in this mix. They're at least worth consideration. A fun team, but I don't know if they can defend well enough to like make a bet on them to go to the playoff or definitely to win the national title. Probably have some questions there. Oklahoma, pretty obvious. It's not just that it's like Lincoln Riley out, Venables in. It's a complete style change. Like you're bringing in the defensive coordinator of Clemson to replace Lincoln Riley offensive mastermind. Like totally different, coaching staff style. I mean, Oklahoma, it was no huddle offense. It was like quarterback development. And the defense was like hung out to dry a bunch of times because you have these quick drives. You score 1 million points a game. Can they change on the fly? And like they have defensive talent. Can Venables get them there? Again, question marks with all these teams. Texas and Oklahoma are 7-8. Texas just like, I need to do more. They strike me as kind of interesting. That's like the best way I could put it right now. Not title interesting, more like playoff interesting. The 9-10 teams, which I know we're running out of time in this segment, but just to get them out.
Do you want to do more of this? Should we do more of this next and then do the cookout?
Yeah. Well, why don't we do 11-20 to start the power hour with like minimal explanation?
Well, because I like, I love this. I think this is great.
Do you want to do a next segment instead of the cookout and do the cookout in the power hour?
I think so.
Okay. Can I, should I give you 9-10 or should we tease it?
But give us 9.
9 is a team that's very interesting.
All right,
well, I don't. We'll I think this is like the Ole Miss of this year. So like, kind of low win total, win like 10 games, high flying offense, be awesome, but like, okay, not go to the playoff. SEC.
Not Mississippi State.
No. They actually have a pretty high rating for them this year.
Ole Miss.
Close to this.
I don't know, man. I'm brain dead.
Tennessee.
Oh, I was reading something that everyone loves Heupel this year in Tennessee. Okay. All right.
They're Texas-ish. Yeah. So.
Texas-ish.
Back-ish.
All right. More of this. And guess what? Guess what we're going to do more of this next.